Grab a chip and a chair. It's time for the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL. 92.5 FM, brought to you by the Best Bet Poker Rooms at Jacksonville and Orange Park. Now, the Best Bet Poker Show pals.
Happy Hump Day!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah!
Hump Day!
Yeah, it's the best part of Wednesday right there.
It is the best part of
Wednesday. Might be the best part of the week.
It is the best part of the week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they call it Hump Day, right?
That's
it's
right.
The rise. It's the rise to the top, and then we get to drop back down, and the week starts to end. It's like the beginning of the end. That's what our show is. It's the beginning of the end.
Yeah.
So we have another dynamic show for you guys tonight. We are broadcasting from a couple different places. So, of course, if you're listening to us on the air, we are, hanging out at home here, the House of the Dancing Lizard. Then, of course, if you're watching us on Twitch, we're sorry we're not in the studio tonight. But, we're being safe and we're staying home right now. So Dustin still has a stream going. You can watch either on Facebook Live or as well as on Twitch. So check both of those avenues out. So Boss Man, there is lots of stuff, interestingly enough, happening in the poker world where I feel like as we're kind of stuck in quarantine here. There's other fun things that are happening. So Lynn Gilmartin did her update on, what day was it? It was just a couple days ago, Monday. I think it came out Monday or Tuesday. And she talked about how for the very first time in Australia since the beginning of the shutdown, she played her first live hand of poker.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's not even the most wow thing about it. Here's the most wow thing. Nobody's required to wear masks. And that's because they have not had a single transmitted case in 3 months in Australia.
Really?
So not only did they open poker, now I will say they opened it shorthanded, it's seven-handed, but they are playing seven-handed in Australia, no masks, because they have not had a transmitted case in 3 months. So they're kind of, they're literally on the hump day.
They're over the hump.
they're trying for them.
Yeah, Australia. Shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, so I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting. And I do know this, that Australia was extremely strict. And
yes.
Some people who lived there and went back to Australia from the United States or wherever, when they got there, they weren't only forced to quarantine. They were forced
government quarantine.
Government said, you will go to this hotel room. Correct. And you will not leave for 14 days.
Yeah. So we have some friends that live in New York, that husband, wife, two children, wanted to get back to Australia when everything started shutting down, right? And they were like, all right, we need to get back home. Like, all our family is there. This looks like it's going to be in for the long haul, right? So we're talking probably like June or July. And Australia was like shut down entirely. It took them 10 days to get from New York to Australia because of the number of flights they had to take and the hoops they had to jump through just to get into Australia. And remember this, they are citizens of the country. So
yeah.
They're not even coming in with they're coming in with an Australian passport, and it took them, you would think that from New York to get to Australia, it shouldn't take more than maybe 22 hours or whatever. You could probably fly almost
couple
direct.
Long flights.
Right. Like almost direct, but it took them 10 days because they had to jump through so many hoops, but I thought that was wonderful. So that's some really positive
amazing.
News.
It's good
and
news.
It was pretty
and
exciting
you know,
to see
Australia
that.
Needs some good news. They just about burned down the whole entire country last year. So. In the wildfires.
I mean, I guess that's a solid point. But
so, good for them.
Yeah. So at any rate, so I thought that was pretty. So that's nice. And I always think it's fun to find that good news. So we have played through the European WSOP. We are into the, I keep calling it European. What are they calling it? International?
International.
I guess, I don't know why I'm stuck on European.
I don't know. It
the
seems
international,
like it's European.
International WSOP.
Yeah.
But now they have played and they are down to the final table of the domestic WSOP.
Right.
All right. So Boss Man, give us a lineup. What does it look like?
So
remember, this was a freeze out single day entry, single day event. Right.
Yeah.
There was
and
no
they had
day twos, none
nope,
of that.
They had about 700 and something people. They played down to the final nine, which is interesting. Point I'll bring up here in a minute. The final table will play out December 28th at the Rio in Las Vegas. They're nine-handed, and I don't think they're allowed to play nine-handed in Vegas right now, so I'm not really sure what that's going to look like.
You know what else is interesting? So, like, I wondered about this. I wondered.
I think they may have overlooked that one.
So they overlooked that. So that's an error. Here's the other thing. What's going to happen with travel restrictions if somebody has to get there and quarantine for 2 weeks? They don't have enough time between now and the 28th, do they, to actually travel, get there, do a CDC quarantine, and then show up to play the final
table? That's a good question.
If you live in Nevada, it's fine. But if you're traveling from New Jersey, you're going to have a problem.
Potentially
have a problem.
Well, I will say this. So Joseph Herbert currently leads the U.S. version with 13 million. Sean Stroke, 5 million. Ryan Haggerty, 5 million. Yi Yen, 4.8. Michael Cannon, 4.4. Garson Destenfield, 3.4. Ron Jenkins, 2.4. I'm never going to be able to say his name. Upshaka Da Silva, 2.1, and Harrison Dubin, 1.5. Those are the top nine players. They will play it out to at the Rio, like I said, on December 28th. Now, the winner of that will play the winner of the international version,
right,
who I'm not sure who it is. I have some information on the European version, or European, international version, but I'm not sure who won it. But here's a couple of interesting points. As we said, it's December 28th, and I don't know if they're allowed to play nine-handed in Vegas. I don't know what that's going to look like. Or maybe
like, does it say how many people on that list are from Nevada?
It doesn't say where they're from.
I find that interesting because here's the thing: they always state where people are from, and I feel like in this regard,
they didn't.
Like, it's not necessarily where you're from, but where you played from. I think that would be interesting information to divulge. And it's not
agree.
Like that's difficult data to find. So I
maybe I could find that on a different site.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was intentionally left out, but I'm curious to know how many people are actually going to need to travel from New Jersey, presumably, to Nevada.
Yeah, I'll look for that on a different on the WSOP site and see if I can't find this. But here's something interesting about the international version. There was a player who was in eighth place, Pion Sun from China,
mm-hmm.
who did not make the trip to the Czech Republic to play the final nine. Now,
what does that mean?
He made the final nine players in the online version, but he didn't go play the live
set.
That just
means, do they just blind him out? Like, I guess what I'm saying.
No,
I'll
tell you. What happened was that he told them, he says, I'm not coming.
Yeah, like I can't, or travel, like whatever that
right.
could be.
And,
like,
and
something in place for that.
There was never an official reason given as to why he didn't come, but it looks like it's basically travel restrictions,
sure.
COVID related.
Sure.
And he said maybe if he had if he had significantly more chips, he may have decided to try to figure out how
to
do it.
Yeah, I knew this was going to be an issue. We've been talking about this. Like, this, somebody is going to pull the rug out from underneath them. Like, most people would be like, yeah. They're going to be like, oh, I'm going for it. But you're going to get the one guy that's like, you know what?
Yeah.
This is an opportunity I'm going to seize, which is exactly what you're talking about. I can't travel. There's going to have to be COVID restrictions in place that allow me to, you know, withdraw, that also don't penalize me. So if he's in the running for first place, but has to bow out at night, like, I just wonder what that looks like.
Well, here's what happened. He declined to make the trip to Rozvodov in the Czech Republic at the King's Casino.
Mm-hmm.
Per the rules of the event, he was awarded ninth place money,
uh-huh.
which was good for $75,000,
right.
and his chips were taken out of play. Opinion?
You can't do that.
No, you
absolutely
cannot do that.
Because
very,
absolutely
very
not.
Bad idea. So,
yeah, of course.
It doesn't matter if the guy
is. What if you get like three people that know each other at the final table and they're all like, you know what? There's three of us. And let's say there's four people that know each other, and you have one guy that's the chip leader, and the other three are like, you know what, let's just pull our chips out of play, and then we're just going to chop up the money when you take first place, because there's three less people you have to worry about. Those chips come out of play. You have a massive lead over these other people, and now they have no ability to be able to build their chip stack unless they double through you.
Also, as a general rule,
you can't do that.
What a tournament director is supposed to do if somebody doesn't show up for the seat. If you're ejected from the tournament,
right,
your chips are pulled.
And that makes sense.
If you get kicked out of the tournament because you freaked out and did something
stupid,
there's
a 0% chance you can come back. Then it's different.
Yeah, 0% chance because chance. You are kicked out. Right. Then your chips are pulled and you get the money if you're in the money.
0%, whatever. Right.
But if you call me up and say, hey, I'm not going to make my final table today, so do whatever. I say, and whether you're in China or in
Jacksonville, doesn't
St.
matter.
Augustine, and you got to come to Jacksonville, it doesn't make any difference. My answer is, I'm sorry to hear that. That's too bad. We're blinding you out. Because who knows?
You never know. Something might, like...
What if he changes his mind at the last second and gets on a plane? What if he changes his mind and drives her? And
what if the reason he was going to miss the event suddenly changed and now he can make it?
Right, now he can make it. And
it's unfair to the rest of the field who knows there's X number of chips in play, X number of chips up for grabs.
Right.
If you are the short stack and you pull a stack off the table that you could potentially pick
the guy just leveled up.
It's very unfair to everybody that's not the chip leader.
The other thing about that is leaving a dead stack on there is the same thing as somebody folding every hand. Right?
Exactly.
It's essentially the same thing. So they're never supposed to take that stack.
Somebody with bladder problems. That's what it is.
Right. They're supposed to just blind them off. And more than likely, he's going to go out ninth place. Mm-hmm. But not 100% of the time. There are going to be times when, you get a big cold deck. You get aces versus kings. Two people go all in. Mm-hmm. And somebody goes busted, and now the guy ladders up, and he should have that opportunity for that to happen. So I think that is a big mistake.
Here's the other
By the World Series.
Here's the other thing. With the big blind ante, which I assume they're using, it's even more detrimental because the number of chips that come out of that stack with the big blind ante is pretty strong. Like, I feel like just taking it off, just taking the stack.
It's a bad decision.
There's only one point in time where it is definitively 100% that you will not come back. Well, actually, that's not true. There's two times, twice only. 100% that you won't come back is if you are deceased. That's the first one. And the second one is if the house tells you, you may not come back. Those are the only two times it's 100%. Because anything short of that, the margin might be small, but it's like you're saying there's a chance. One in a minute, like we play the lottery, it's the same thing. It could happen.
I may change my mind on this, but I feel if somebody is deceased, does their stack still deserve to be blinded out?
No, but that's a different question. I'm just saying that's the only time it's 100% definitive you're not coming back to
sure.
the table.
Deceased or kicked
right.
out.
I'm not arguing whether or not chips should be taken out, but those are the only two times. So really the only time that the chips could come out of play based on tournament
if
the house kicks you out and they eject you from the tournament.
Right.
Anything else is subject to
interpretation
or like whatever. But I feel like, that's the only way that you should take the chips out of play. At any rate, all right, we did take a quick break because we're getting a little long here, but let's take a break. And when we come back, we got lots more poker to talk to you guys about, and we have some nice merchandise that we'll give away. Maybe that can be your Secret Santa gift, or maybe it's something that'll keep you warm or just bring you some holiday joy during this time. So stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
It's the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDill here with Jets in the Box.
In the house.
Yes. Dustin running our live stream from another location. And then yet again, country at the station. So we have a nice little triangle effect going here. And it is sort of the way that we do things in 2020. And
but modern technology has given us these avenues and resources to be able to still reach our ever-loving audience.
You know, it is kind of fun. I will say that I am very impressed and amazed every day by people and, I don't know, like the innovation of people, I guess, just in general, and how they come up with, find solutions to problems. Like especially technical problems. Like I love that people can do that. And I love that people say, you know, hey, oh, everybody's in quarantine, or this might happen. How do we find this technological way to literally facilitate the entire world? Not like a state, not like a city, not even a nation, but the entire world. And I really think that it's remarkable.
We said about something the other day is necessity is the mother of invention.
I feel like that makes sense.
Did I mess it up?
If you didn't, then you could put it on a t-shirt and sign it. Like it will work. I love it. Yeah.
So necessity is the mother of invention. So you need something, you figure out how to do it. That's the way life goes. And everybody's been doing a great job all around the country and the world.
So the Young Lawyers Association always has a fundraiser tournament that they host at Best Bet this time every year. And I think that this would have been the 5th annual, and they are scheduled for that tournament for tomorrow. And it's still, they have the same type of format. Unfortunately, they can't have that size of an event at your guys' location due to restrictions and, you know, making sure that
whatever,
there aren't
too
many people, right?
Hockey,
But they found ways to carry on and sort of be able to raise the money and do what they need to do and be able to continue to help people and use the platform of poker here and within our community. So I think that's
awesome.
Really wonderful, and it's great. So I just wanted to give a shout out to that. So Ross, I know you have some other things.
I got a couple more random news stories. The second Atlantic City poker room is scheduled to open. Harrah's Atlantic City will reopen its poker room the day after Christmas. So as some places are shutting down, even in, the Upper East Coast, I know New York just closed their in-room dining on Monday. They are scheduled to open Harrah's Atlantic City Poker Room the day after Christmas, and that's good because I'm sure everybody wants to get out there and play some poker. So another funny thing happening in Atlantic City is Atlantic City is going to auction off a spot to push the demolition button on the Trump Casino. So one of President Donald Trump's former Atlantic City casinos will be blown up next month. And for the right amount of money, you could be the one to press the button that brings it down. So they're auctioning off the chance to press the button that will demolish the Trump Plaza Casino. It's a fundraiser to benefit the Boys and Girls Club in Atlantic City, which is pretty cool. They hope to raise about $1 million. The casino was opened in 1984, and it was closed in 2014 and has just fallen into such state of disrepair that it's time to blow it up. But that's pretty cool. You know, I think it'd be fun.
I do. You know what I think is interesting? Here's what I think is interesting. So, and this might be... like maybe this sounds like a stupid question, but would people be petitioning to blow up this tacky, awful place if he was not president? I always find that interesting because the reason that I say that
that's a good point.
Is we were former residents of Nevada. We're former Nevadans, okay?
Yep.
We were there when the Trump Tower was built.
But this isn't in Nevada.
I understand. I'm just using it as a point of reference and example. So we were in Nevada when the Trump Tower, and I remember looking at it, we were like, my God, it is so gaudy. We couldn't figure it out. We were like, we don't even understand. It didn't even have a casino.
No. The Atlantic City one has a casino. The one in Vegas does not.
That's what I'd say. The one in Vegas. So they built
this huge
tower, and there's no casino, and we lived there, and we were like, what is happening?
It's just a big golden hotel.
This is a golden, we didn't understand it then, and this is prior to him becoming president. So I guess my question is this politically driven or is it really actually an eyesore? Because it was an eyesore in Vegas eons before he was president. I mean, we're talking before Obama's term.
I think
this was a long time ago.
So. No, I think your point is well taken and it's very interesting. And I think you're right. I think that had this just been a random casino in Atlantic City that's going to get demolished, there wouldn't be an auction to press the red button. But since it's the Trump Plaza under the current political whatever, what a great way to raise charity money.
It's absolutely wonderful.
To auction off the right to press the button.
You know, I always say, like, not to go down like a political road because I know better than to do that. But from a very non-political standpoint, I always say there are certain things that no matter what side you're on, right, regardless of what your political beliefs are, there is always something that is good. There are good things and bad things, regardless of what side you're on, that you can award or, or shun your former or current president for, right? It doesn't matter what side you're on. If you're on one side, you say these are the things that are bad, these are the things that are good. And if you're on the other side, you have that same list. But this is one of those things that it doesn't matter what side you're on. It doesn't matter whatsoever.
Nope, this is a positive outcome.
This is a positive outcome, no matter what your political beliefs are, no matter who you like, what you dislike. This is fantastic, and I really love that. So, what a great story!
I think it's cool. Yeah, what a great idea.
That's good.
And
I like it.
Yeah, it's positive.
It's hard to find positive news. Like I feel like it's always like doom and gloom.
But everything is. I mean, all news is doom and gloom. But now. It's really doom and gloom with the COVID stuff. It's hard. It's hard to find.
Positive,
And I think that is really some positive news, regardless of whether you like Trump or dislike Trump. This is something good that comes from blowing up his defunct casino. So we don't need to spend a whole lot of time on this. However,
The Pope versus Ngannou update. Now we do have to talk about this.
We do have to talk about it because it is ongoing. And if you haven't heard us the past month, Daniel Ngannou and Doug Polk are in this feud. They are playing 25,000 hands of 200, 400 no limit hold'em.
Where are they at right now?
Against each other to settle a feud. What's the feud for? Nobody really knows anymore.
It's basically just a
fight in the sandbox. It's kids fighting in the sandbox.
Right.
I'm going to beat you up. No, I'm going to beat you up. No, I'm smarter than you. No, I'm smarter than you. I'm a better player. You're a better player.
So we do actually know why they're doing it.
Then. Right, but there's no real reason.
Well, there's no big reason. So to you, the reason isn't real. To them, the fighting in the sandbox is very real.
So I know, but
there's a very real reason to them, because they're both in the sandbox and they're both throwing whatever they're throwing from the sandbox, which I don't even want to think about. But to them, it's very real and it's very important. And, will it actually determine who the greatest player is? No.
No, but
it's never going to decide.
Here's what happens in the poker world. And if you've been in the poker world for long enough, you've been playing, it's late at night and two guys continuously are at each other at the table. And then one guy says, I'll play you heads up because they made a bad play and won a big pot. Usually what happens is, I make a suspect call and bust Allie. And then she goes, you're a lousy player. You don't know what you're doing. I'm like, hey, I got all your chips. Like, yeah, whatever. You want to play heads up? Yeah, sure. Let's go play heads up. And that's how that's how the conversation goes. 90 plus percent of the time, they never actually go play heads up. So this was a feud that is basically the same thing. It's just kids arguing in the sandbox, but they worked out, they ironed out the details, and this has been a good grudge match and fun for the whole poker community to sweat.
So, I sort of feel like the more I keep watching these things like this come out, because, okay, so two things. So you have the Ngannou versus Polk thing, right? Which is like blown up and become like,
right.
A poke
national news.
By its own right, it has become the reality poker show
Serious. It's the 2020 reality poker.
Poker community, right? Like, that's what it is. So I feel like it's almost like a publicity stunt. The only thing that it is, that you could compare it to, right, data-based, would be if you were looking at the Galfon Challenge, which, right, by the way, that has always been the thing that we talk about when you start talking about challenges and people playing heads up and who's playing against whom and what it's for and what it means and extracting data, and people use it as a learning tool. And what I think is interesting is this is almost kind of buried what happens with the Galfon Challenge.
A little bit.
I almost don't even know. Like, I feel like he's still playing Cornuth.
Still playing Bill Perkins.
Cornuth is ahead. I don't know what's going on with Bill Perkins. But those are like real actual heads up matches that I feel like are worth, I mean, it's hard to say worth something because they're all playing for money. But do you see what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like this is almost like a publicity stunt to drive poker interest. Right.
And maybe it is. I don't think it is. I think they're actually doing it out of a feud, which is funny. But you know, the Galfon Challenge is something.
Listen, it's like taking two of the greatest fighters in the world that are has been fighters that are old, gone, and shouldn't be in the ring anymore, and throwing them in. It's like putting Mike Tyson in with somebody. Help me. I'm not great at boxing.
Roy Jones Jr.
There you go. It's like putting those. Thank you. There we go. It's like putting those two in the ring, right? They're not supposed to do that. So now that's what I feel like the Negreanu and Polk thing is. The Galfon Challenge, I feel, is more like a traditional standard boxing match or an MMA fight.
It's like the Galfon Challenge is the current MMA fight.
It makes sense, right?
It's Conor McGregor taking out all comers.
Yes, it's based.
In this case, Bill Galfon happens to be Conor McGregor.
Exactly. But it's relevant in its to now times, where when you're taking the Negreanu and the Polk challenge, I feel like it's literally pulling something from so far away and trying to make it something relevant.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. At any rate, all right, we need to take a quick break. But when we come back, we have more poker to talk about. Plus, we have some merchandise to give away, and I promise we'll do it right after the break. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Allie McDeal here with Jesse the Boss. Country all the way at the station. And Dustin all the way. Dustin, I don't know where you are, doll, but we love you. We miss you. We're looking forward to seeing all of you again. So we got a little triangle effect going here, but we are making it work. So thank you for hanging out with us and supporting us as we make it through the final weeks of 2020. Hoping to be COVID-free in 2021.
COVID-free 2021, that's what we're looking for. COVID-free 21.
I feel like that's going to be the new biggest hashtag.
COVID-free 21.
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah, get out of 2020.
Well, so speaking of things that have happened in 2020, we were talking about, if you're just joining us as we were going to break, we were talking about the difference between the Galfon Challenge and... Well, not really the difference, but where the Galfon Challenge is, Phil Galfon, how he's playing and where these challenges come from. And they, you know, this has been something historically that's been going on for years and years and years. And people throw up these challenges. They play X number of hands, a specific type of game, and they battle it out for however much they decide upon. And we're talking about how Negreanu and Polk are really just like, they're playing for money, but they're not actually playing for money. They're really they're playing for money, but the purpose and the intent of their play is not to exchange financial or monetary funds. It is to literally say,
who looks better in a tank top?
I buried you in the sandbox. Right.
I look better in a tank top
because every time I see a video of Negreanu, I literally look at it and I'm like, is he even wearing clothes right now? Like, does he have a shirt on? Like, the color of his tank top is getting more and more, it's blending more and more into his chest that I'm not sure if he's even clothed.
And maybe, so, you know, eat a steak one
super
time.
Super bizarre. Yeah, seriously.
But hey, let's go over some stats. We'll start with the Galfon with the Galfon Challenge, right? So he's got all these upcoming people he's supposed to play. Brandon Adams, great player. He's supposed to play Jungleman, Dan Katz, phenomenal player. Phil Galfon plays PLO, Pot Limit Omaha. That's his thing. And this isn't a challenge like the Daniel and Doug thing. The Phil Galfond challenge is a, hey man, anybody want to play? Let's play. I'll play anybody. Who cares? Let's, you know, agree to the terms, the stakes. Let's play. It's not a feud. It's I want to play good players kind of thing. And Galfond's the best heads up Potlum and Omaha player probably that there's ever been. So, here's his history. He played somebody known as Action Freak. I have no idea who that was.
Remember, I feel like we tried really hard to figure out who he was.
Well, there's another one. He won 114,000 euros, and the match is completed. They played 15,011 hands. Weird number. Then he played Vinny Vidi, which is the one that nobody...
That's the one that we didn't know, Vinny.
Nobody knows who he is.
Or Vinny, whatever it was.
And Vinny Vidi was winning pretty much the entire time till the end. And then Phil Galfond came back and ended up winning and beat him out of, looks like $1,000, $1,671 after 25,000 hands.
Wow.
And they had a big side bet, so that money wasn't as much as a side bet. Now, side bets we'll get to in a second. He's in progress against Bill Perkins, who is a businessman and recreational poker player.
Yeah.
Great guy. And Phil Galfond is currently, they're playing 1 in 200 Potlum in Omaha. They have played only 862 hands, and Galfond is up $90,000. He's also in a match with Chance Cornuth, who's a great player, Hold'em and PLO.
Yep.
He's a great guy, great player, also playing 1 in 200 pot limit Omaha. They're going to play 35,000 hands. They have a $1 million to – so – it looks like Galfond gave Chance 4-1. So if Galfond wins,
that's amazing.
It's really amazing because Chance is
a
great player.
That's a strong line. Yeah, Chance is an excellent player.
It's $1 million for Galfond, $250,000 Chance stands to lose in the side bet. But I think they also play, otherwise they wouldn't be playing 1 in 200. It would just be $1 and $2. It wouldn't make any difference. And currently, Galfond is up 259,000 after 20,500 hands. So they still have 10,000 hands to go. Any direction. He also, Bill Perkins, he also gave him 4-1, which is funny. Bill, I'm sorry. You're a great guy, and you're probably a good player, but you should get a little better odds than Chance is getting against Galfond.
So let's go back to that. Obviously, Galfond is one of the most incredible poker players.
Potlum in Omaha specifically.
Yeah. Period.
Yeah.
But not just poker player, but also extraordinarily exceptional when we talk about playing heads up, which is a whole nother thing. And we've had this conversation a million times that you can master, well, you can't master, but you can be really good in attempt to master and really excel and climb the ladder in playing poker. It's not possible to master it entirely because it's constantly changing. But to do that and to also do that in heads up manner is entirely two separate things altogether. So here's what I'm wondering. We're looking at two things here. So we have the Galfond challenge where Cornuth is getting 4-1, right? Bill Perkins is getting 4-1. Now, I don't know whether or not Bill Perkins and Chance Cornuth are equal as far as caliber of players. I don't know that. I don't know enough about Bill Perkins to be able to tell you that. I know enough about Cornuth's play that I could tell you how he ranges. But here's my thing. Is the Galfond challenge more like a friendly exchange where like is Galfond kind of like, all right, like Chance, you and I are buds. We're going to play online. All right, you want a challenge, we'll play. I'm going to give you better odds because you're my buddy. So if you beat me, like, is it that kind of a friendly thing?
I think it's friendly, but it's not that friendly. They're true odds that.
But how can it be true if Bill Perkins and Chance Cornuth are the same? That's what
then
I'm saying.
Bill Perkins, unfortunately, did not negotiate as well as Chance did.
So you think it's more of a negotiation thing, and it's not just like a more like a friendly exchange? You think it's
think
just
it's
a poor business deal?
I think it's
or
a little
a good
bull.
Business deal.
There's. I don't think anybody in this group in the Galfon Challenge is not friendly. I think they're all friendly towards each other. So there's not any grudges or feuds or animosity. So there is that friendliness aspect. But I also think there is some business aspect to it. And it looks like Perkins, based on his level of play against Chance Cornuth, didn't get as good a deal as Chance because they're both at 4-1. But it is interesting. And a good point. And currently, Galfond is beating Perkins for $90,000, as we said, and Chance Cornuth for $250,000. And we will follow those and continue and see how those guys do in the end, because they still have several thousand hands to play. Now, back to the Doug versus Daniel. Doug Polk, they are playing 2 and 400, mm-hmm. no limit hold'em, for real money with no side bet.
Right. So Rick, that's what I'm saying. Like, is this more of a true form of poker and the other ones are more kind of like friendly?
Yes.
I don't know. Like, would you play like would Cornuth? I guess like that's to my point. Like if Cornuth and Galfond were playing dollar for dollar as opposed to kind of like, I mean, they are playing dollar for
dollar. They're doing both.
But they're doing great. Like if they were playing more style like Doug and
straight dollar for
Daniel,
dollar.
Straight dollar for dollar, do you think that the play would be, would it be monitored differently? Would they exchange? Like, I don't know. I don't think so.
I think in the Galfond Challenge, you know, Cornuth said, I'll play you, but you're better at PLO than I am. So you got to give me a spot.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Just, you got to give me a spot on the side bet.
So they're basically more like, we're going to draw a realistic line.
Yes.
And this is what it is. And Negreanu and Polk are more like, screw you, I'm the best. And he's like, I'm the best. And they're like, there is no line. The line is, I am the best. So that's it. We just hammer it out for X number of hands.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's exactly right. And right now, Doug is currently plus $814,000. And they've played about 10,780 hands. And they are due to play 25,000. So they're not only halfway through their match yet. And I don't know if you've seen Daniel Negreanu's rants on social media. They are, fairly pathetic. And
he can't, he like his
shirt, control himself.
His shirt becomes more.
Put on a shirt, eat a steak, and control yourself, Daniel.
Come on, bro. Get it together. Oof. You're literally making a mockery of the vegan community. You owe them an apology. Write them an apology.
True.
We'll see how it goes. But, if you, well, let me ask you this question real quick and then we'll break. Does Vegas have a line on who will win?
I have not seen one.
I feel like you should. When we come back,
okay,
from the break.
I haven't.
You bet anywhere. Maybe not Vegas, but somewhere else.
I don't think there's a line on the Doug Daniel thing, but I know a lot of people bet on Daniel at 4-1.
I know, which is insane.
Which is interesting. And we thought that was a lot, 4-1. But then when we talked to Tony Dunst, who, by the way, just won a circuit ring in some WSOP tournament.
Who we, again, will probably talk to very soon about that.
The guy is an amazing poker master, just a serious freak of nature himself. He's just amazingly good and smart. But he said, when we broke down the numbers, that Daniel really should be closer to 10-1.
I know, which is pretty amazing.
And when he broke it down and you really did the numbers and the, you know, big blinds per hour of a favorite and this and that, it totally made sense.
You know what?
And I thought, I can't believe that, because I would never even put him as even close to a 4-1 dog against anybody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put two good players as a 4-1 dog ever against each other.
Yeah, it would be tough. Here's what I want to do. I want to get Tony Dunst and, I don't know, do we know anybody who knows anything about odds and statistics?
Maybe we do.
Do we know anybody? Maybe we could find somebody.
Maybe we could find
a guy named Jimmy. I don't know, but I feel like we we should get the two of them in a room together and have a conversation a little bit about how they kind of find this stuff out. Because
I'm going to have to record it because I'm not going to understand what they're talking about at the time. So I'm going to have to record it so I can go back and re-listen to it and understand, because they are way too smart for me.
Yeah. Well, Tony Dunn's stuff from the World Poker Tour and Jimmy Lyons, who happens to be, you know, a master by his own right through statistics and is a professor over at Bowles, is phenomenal. And he's been on our show before and has talked about some of these things. So I think the two of them, it would be fun after the new year to maybe just put a whole bunch of questions together and see the two of them kind of battle it out and talk about it. All right, we need to take a quick and final break. But before we do that, actually, I promised I was going to go ahead and give away something. Merchandise style looks like it's about 57 degrees outside, so I think it seems like sweatshirt or jacket weather.
Ooh, we got new stuff coming.
Yeah, there's lots of new stuff, lots of new Best Bet stuff that's coming in, and that has arrived, in fact. So 641-1010, we will take the fifth caller right now, 641-1010. You can pick out a sweatshirt or a jacket, a hoodie, something of that caliber, and you can pick it up either in Jacksonville or Orange Park. Fifth caller right now, 641-1010, and you can get your merchandise. Stay with us. We'll be right back with more of the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You're listening to the Best Bet Poker Show on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Welcome back to the Best Bet Poker Show. Alan McDill here with Jesse the Boss, Dustin on the other side of this city somewhere, and then country over at the station. We're bringing you guys the poker show from the Triangle Effect here in Jacksonville, but we're having a great time doing it. There is so much going on, so if you're not stuck at home and you need to get out and you need some entertainment, or you're looking for a way to pick up some cash, definitely Best Bet Jacksonville is the place to be. We are right smack in the middle of the 12 days of Christmas. Today is the 16th, which means $1,600 high hands right now, all the way through 10 o'clock p.m. tonight. So in Jacksonville, if you hit a high hand, it's worth $1,600. Definitely want to make sure you find your way over that to 201 Monument Road, just off of Atlantic and Monument. Of course, if you're over on the other side of the bridge, or maybe you're closer to the Mandarin area, don't fret. You can just shoot over the Buckman Bridge, head north on 17, and right there on your left, you'll see Best Bet Orange Park, and they have plenty of high hand promotions going on there right now, of course, throughout the entire day, anywhere between $300 and $600 high hands from now throughout the rest of the week and through the weekend. So regardless of which property you go to, they're definitely going to pad your wallets with a little bit of extra cash through the holidays. Speaking of holidays, I don't want you to forget that the Poker Room is going to close in observation of Christmas. They will close Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock p.m. at both properties and then reopen Christmas Day at 4 o'clock p.m. So just mark that on your calendar. But remember, again, everybody is required to wear a mask. They're taking temperature checks. They're using hand sanitizer. They're socially distanced. Everybody's being nice and safe. So it's a great place to be. If you need any other information about what's going on, check out bestbetjacks.com. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and anything else. You can find anything and everything that you need right there. That's going to do it for us. But don't go anywhere. Into the Night with Rick Ballew is coming up next. For Jesse the Boss, Dustin at Country Over in the studio, I'm Allie McDeal saying, until next time, we hope to see you at the final table.